All right, what's happening? Did you both enjoy the eclipse? Not really?
got a little dark down here, but I was too busy.
Yeah. Good stuff. Who's kicking us off today?
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I just have one question, Mike.
Yeah, Alex, go ahead.
It has to do with the virtual assistant. You mentioned Indeed last week. I'm going through Upwork. And is there any other places to look?
You know, for VAs, we typically go to Upwork.com. I was talking about salespeople through Craigslist and Indeed.com if you're looking for a sales position.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, we just go to Upwork. I'll be honest with you. I was talking to Rob last week. There are a couple other sources. Upwork is not the most intuitive website to click around and figure out, but we've had good luck finding people on it, so we stick with it. I think it used to be GoDesk or Odesk maybe.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, there are some other sources out there that probably work, and I'm sure they're fine. That's the one that we typically go to. We've just been using it for a while.
Are you doing USA only, or?
We typically hire VAs in the Philippines.
Yeah, that's okay. That answers my question. Cause I'm seeing them from all over the place, and I've seen some from Bangladesh and India and all sorts of places.
Yeah, we've had good luck with folks in the Philippines. Speak the language pretty well. That's the thing is you can. I mean, you know. That's not to say that you can't hire great people from other countries. So,
okay.
We just, when it goes for like skip tracing, easy communication back and forth, we tend to go to the Philippines. Yep.
Okay. No, that's fine. That answered my question because when I saw all those people from outside the U.S., I was like, wow.
Yeah, it gives you access to labor all over the world. It's a cool deal.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to change my, my configuration, you say, when I post. I said U.S. only, so, and it's kind of slow. I'm not getting anything out of it. So
switch it up. Yeah, if you leave it U.S. only, you're not going to find people for $4 to $7 an hour.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
So, when you go to, and that's the thing in the Philippines is you can get, you know, college educated, sometimes, bachelor's degrees, sometimes master's degrees, under $10 US an hour, pretty common.
Yeah, I've seen that already. I was just kind of leery about doing that. So you answered my question now. I can go forward.
Yeah, cool. All your funds go into Upwork, basically, and get handled through them. You know, really no different than PayPal. They're kind of the medium between, you know, pay, and then you can give people reviews and. Whether it's by hourly or by the job or however, just kind of set it up, and then, you know, you've got Upwork there to kind of back it. They've been around for a long time, so it's not like you're sending – it's not like you're wiring money into the abyss.
Yeah, that's good. Got one more question, too.
Yeah.
Before I get off, because I'm kind of busy here at work.
Okay.
The bird dogs.
Yes.
I mean, I got one guy that's working really – he's working it good. I'm getting good results from him, but I'm not going to – I should hire more than just one bird dog?
Depends.
Okay.
If you've got somebody to tussle in, I mean, the reason to go more is because one person isn't or can't produce the level of lead volume you need. But we've had, you know, multiple students have one person that they find that's just killing it, and in some cases they've had to tell them to slow down because they're just out getting after it. If one is covering it and that's the volume that you could handle right now, one is fine.
Yeah, that was my question because this guy, he's really going after it. So I'm just letting him do what he's going to do.
And he, cool.
Yeah, he's going to handle more than just – he can handle more than just one zip code because we're going by zip code.
Absolutely. Yeah, as soon as he clears one, send him to the next. How many leads has he brought in so far?
Pretty close to 90.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's over a 2-week period. So he's really moving.
Yeah, you just you just work it off. Your business needs leads. So if one person can make that happen, one is fine. If you need three, then three is your number. So you just, you monitor it as the owner and say, you know, where are we at? What kind of volume can we handle? Where do we need to be? And if he's got you covered, fire it up. Now, long term, right, he could move, go missing, change his mind, that kind of thing. So, you know, that's the don't put all your eggs in one basket philosophy,
yeah,
which makes sense. But if he's getting after it in the short term, go with it.
Yeah, I mean, once I'm done with the city I'm working on now, because I'll just go back and do the analysis again and figure out where I want to go from there. If I still want to stay in the East Coast, if I want to go to the middle of the U.S., so, okay.
There are more leads. I mean, there are more vacants showing up weekly, you know, in these markets. So that's a pretty frequent question. Hey, how long do I have a bird dog generate vacants here? And then, you know, we switch to something else. You can have bird dogs generate vacants for a long time. Just depends.
Yeah.
Will you add some things to it in the future? Probably. But, you know, you can start with a zip code. You know, keep these in order of where you go. Send them to another, and then who knows how much time has gone by. Go back to where you started, and there will be some new ones on the map that it'll find. So it's not that you ever have to turn it off.
Yeah. Well, I got a tremendous response from Craigslist. That's why I was asking. So.
Cool.
But right now, I really want that VA. I need the VA's help, like, now.
Yep. Yeah. So if you bring out another bird dog, that's fine. But you've got to get the next step in play.
Yeah.
Which is somebody who can skip trace leads for you. So a couple ways to do it. You can grab a set of like 30 leads and give them to the same VA, right? What we want to do is compress time frames. So you could go hire a VA, give them a job, give them leads. You know, in a week or two, figure out, they're not really doing what I thought they would. This isn't working. You know, let them go, put another ad in, hire somebody else. That's one way. The quicker way is to grab a set of leads and give them the same 30. Just peel off 30 leads from your FreedomSoft account. You can export them, whatever you want to do. And give them, hire three VAs and say, hey, I need a long-term skip tracing position. I've got 30 records that I'd like you to skip trace. We'll see how it goes and we can go from there. And I'm going to pay a flat fee on that. So that's about, you know, 10 to 20, depending on how quick your skip tracer is, an hour. 15 to 20 is, you know, pretty doable. 10's on the low end. So that's really, you give them 30, you're like 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours tops, 2.5 max. And you can put a set price on that. So instead of inputting an hourly job into Upwork, you can input a job for, you know, what, call it 3 hours at $5 an hour, $15, and say, I've got 30 leads I want to skip trace, and, you know, let's see how you do. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
you give it to three different people.
Yeah.
You pay a little more up front, right? You're going to hire three different people for the exact same task, pay them each $15, but then you can evaluate speed, you can see what kind of data they bring back, and then evaluate, and then move forward and say, okay, person B did they did the best job, whatever. I'm going to move forward with them. The other thing that in that ad, so there are two ways to do this. Rob pays for a subscription to Intellius and gives a VA his login access. That way works. If you don't want to train a VA on how to do it, hire a VA that has skip tracing experience, and then in the ad, put, please respond with what skip tracing tools you have access to and see if they already have one in place.
Okay.
So both methods have worked. I like to hire somebody that has, I mean, this is basically going against what Rob does, right? He trains the VA how to do the skip trace. But if you give it to three different people and see what kind of results and numbers they come back with, you should be able to figure out or get an idea who has some experience, what tools they have access to, and then you can turn over a list and they already understand skip tracing. And so that, you know, that method, like I said, they both work. I know you've got right, a full-time gig and that kind of thing. Get it to three VAs who know how to skip trace and ask them what tools they have access to. Get their feedback, get it to three people. get the results in. The other thing we do in Upwork, I'll just add this too, is we say we're ready to – at the bottom you can say, I'm ready to award this job if you can start in the next, whatever, 12 hours, 24 hours. So, you know, don't wait 3 days to get somebody in there. Let people say, yes, I can start immediately. And that way you're just compressing time frames because that's all right?
Yeah.
So that's how we get things done.
I was on Fiverr, and I noticed that, you know, I could right off the bat, there's like three or four people in there that had that done skip tracing already. So,
yep.
And they had certain prices that they were charging. So I'm going to look at Fiverr, and I'll keep looking at the Upwork thing, but the Fiverr thing I can do right away.
Yeah, Rob.
Okay.
Rob uses Fiverr too. He typically goes there for a specific task, or you know, he wants a logo made for something or that kind of thing. But yeah, he's used both extensively, so there isn't really a right or wrong answer.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Great.
Good
Thank
stuff,
you.
Alex. Yes, sir.
All right.
Tal, you want to chime in? I know you're on. We have some more people beep in, but.
I'll just listen a little while, okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Who
else
is on?
Tom.
What's up, Tom?
I'm getting pretty damn frustrated, I got to tell you. I'm really about ready to just switch cities, man. I got this thing under contract. I can't get access to it. The guy who's in Pittsburgh left town and he won't be back until Thursday, so I won't be able to get any photos till Friday. I see no reason to contact the people in that area that I have skip traced because I have nothing to show them besides go take a look at the boarded up building. They can't see inside it. I don't want to look like an idiot. So there's really no reason for me to be calling them at this point. In my opinion,
I don't necessarily agree. When can you get in? Over the weekend?
Friday.
What do they say the inside of the house looks like? What kind of condition?
He says it needs $3,000 worth of work.
That's it? So they're saying it's in good condition.
He says it's almost rentable. It needs to be fixed up. It probably needs a new carpet. It might need some paint. I don't know.
Wow.
He said the kitchen's okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't know these guys, and I kind of trust the guy from California, but he hasn't seen it in a long time, and I really don't trust the guy in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So first of all, I don't think this is a big deal. Second of all, this is pretty common. We're talking about access here. So sometimes you may get a deal under contract that's occupied, in which case you can't just send somebody through it. You have to set up showings. To have a conversation that says, hey, here's the address, drive by it, owner's out of town. He'll be back and get you in there, you know, earliest this weekend, latest early next week, right? Get a feel for the neighborhood, what it looks like. And you can just tell them, say, the owners are telling me it only needs about $3,000 on the inside to be rent ready. You know, I'm making some assumptions.
Hey,
it's closer to 15, but we won't know until we get in.
Tom, I lost you about 2 minutes ago. I had to log back in. My phone is acting very strange. It's dropped call 3 times now, so I don't know what's going on.
Dang, because I said something really brilliant, and I can't remember what it was. Here's the thing.
All my electronics are screwing up everywhere I turn. It's just like I'm so frustrated right now. I'm telling you.
Okay, so we're going to bring solutions to the table. So, because that's how this works. The first thing I said was, don't be frustrated. This is fairly common, right? What happens when you tie up a deal that's occupied? You can't just send an investor through. So you have them drive by. You say, I'm working on getting you in. But this one, the owner's out of town. So tell the people, drive by. Owner's out of town. I should be able to get you in this weekend, early next week at the latest. Right? Get a feel for it. And then just tell them what you know. Say, they're telling me the inside needs about $3,000. You know, I haven't seen it yet. Obviously, you can't get in. I think it could need up to 15. They're telling me 3,000. I'll get you in there early next week. Here's what it is. Here are the numbers. You know, go check the neighborhood, check the location. So that's normal in real estate. Hey, I can't get you in, right? I'm on wholesalers list here in Denver, and it happens all the time. So this one, the owner's out of town. Perfect reason. Other times, like I said, the place is occupied. So they'll say, if you want to come see it, showing is Thursday at 4 o'clock. Be there Thursday at 4. So it's in the real estate world, it's just normal. So get them, have them drive by it. That's it.
All right. Well, I'll do that.
And then we need four more of these on your plate.
Yeah.
What are you poo-pooing that for?
No. If the people show interest in Braddock, I mean, these other guys have some other ones.
Did you grab that list of the zip code from ListSource?
Oh, yeah. I think
your email said you figured that out. Perfect.
I do need some help with FreedomSoft, like I said. I don't get the whole – I can't find it in all the different either the FreedomSoft stuff or any of the things that I have. I can't find where you put them, you know, where you start a campaign and then you have buyer leads and there's all these different categories. I think of it one way and it's not working, so I need help as to where you put them and then how you transfer them so that I can keep track. I want to keep track of where I found the buyers and where I found the sellers so that I know what worked so I can duplicate that the next time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we can do that. We'll have to do that on a screen share.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah, please. If we could do that tomorrow, that would be awesome. Yeah, that'd be great.
Tomorrow might be a little tough for me, but Wednesday for sure. I'll see if tomorrow changes. I've got just a project I'm working on that's due end of day tomorrow. So,
okay.
But yeah, I'll help you with that.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Yeah, don't be discouraged. This is called normal for real estate. Hey, I can't get you in there yet, but drive by.
Yeah, starting out, I'm not real sure what's normal. I don't want to look like an idiot.
Yep.
I mean,
no, you won't.
I've already been told I'm a noob and I don't know jack shit about Pittsburgh by several different people. That's the Pittsburgh way, I guess.
Tom, here's the thing. So fire back at them and say, you know what, that's okay if you don't buy there, but public records tells me that whatever. Here's the thing. People are going to have an opinion. If they don't buy there, they say that place sucks, right? Well, people have made tons of money in areas that other investors say, quote, unquote, suck. So different buyers are comfortable buying in certain places. This is just the way it is. And they have opinions. Oh, I only buy here. I don't buy there. And you know what? Other investors say this is perfect. Nobody want, right? And it's not nobody because we have data. But they say the stereotype in Pittsburgh is don't buy here. That's exactly where I buy. There's no competition. Because nobody else wants it. I'm printing money over here. And people are staying away because that's the perception. So it just – if the data said nobody's buying there, you're in a bad spot. That's not what the data says.
Right.
So let them have their opinion. That's fine. Data trumps opinion. Hey, man, thanks for the opinion. You know, when I get something in your area, I'll call you. Perfect.
Well, some of them won't even tell me their area. They hold their cards close. They don't even want to tell me the area that they're.
That's fine. If they don't, say, I tell you what, then every deal I bring to the table, I'm going to send it your way, and you tell me if you're interested or not. Fair enough? Bam. Done. So if you're not going to tell me, I'm sending every deal over. If you want to tell me,
okay.
I'll only touch base when deals are there. But, you know, you have have some confidence in this. Have a little bit of posture. You don't have to be, you know, fire back at them or anything like that. But, hey, not really. I've got data supports that there's a decent amount of activity in Braddock. If you don't buy that, that's cool. You know, where else do you look? Because the data doesn't lie. There are absentee owner transactions in there. And the thing about Pittsburgh is I can't remember the number we found in the last couple of years, but we know that the county's 12 months behind, so it's a pretty safe bet we double that number. They just, for whatever, that county is, you know, it takes them 12 months to get deals recorded, whatever the case. So, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Even, here's the thing, Tom, even if this deal doesn't work, so what? I mean, we're failing forward here. So not every deal that you get under contract is going to work. Rob doesn't close every deal that gets under contract. The majority, but not every. Nobody bats 1,000 in anything in life, right? So there's a good chance this one gets moved. But this is another reason for getting, right, you've got to find time to work the other leads in this so that it's not the only deal on the table. And that way, somebody says, I don't buy Braddock. Great. I got 4 more. I have 2 more. I have 3 more. You know, are these more your flavor? That kind of thing. But
let's talk about that for a sec. I don't want to be glass half empty. But what happens if I can't unload this thing? I had a 60-day inspection. I just
right.
said, sorry, this isn't going to work. And you
yeah,
just walk
I mean,
away.
As long as you fully disclosed, here's my intent. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to move this to buyers. That's what I do. My intent is to wholesale it. I've got great buyers in the area, right? Keep your sellers informed. Communicate with them maybe on a weekly basis. Hey, giving you an update. Buyers I've talked to so far, don't buy in this area. I've got data of the ones they do, reaching out to them, and just communicate with them. And that's why it's all about full disclosure up front. Hey, I'm not going to buy this thing. I work with people who are buying in this area. I feel pretty good that we can get it moved, but I don't make any guarantees. Does that work? And now we're under contract. So, yeah, if you give it back, you give it back. Life goes on.
Okay.
Here's the
it's
thing.
So bad. They told them I was going to buy, you know.
Well, if you told, did you tell them you were going to buy it, or you tell them you were going to give an effort and try and find a buyer?
I told them I was going to try to find a buyer, and I said I might hold it, keep it to myself, but I haven't determined that yet.
Right. That's it. There's no need to feel bad. They didn't have an option on the table before you showed up. They were just sitting there holding it, saying, yeah, we really don't want these anymore, but there's nothing happening. So just communicate with them what's going on. That's the game. No need to feel bad. Here's the thing. I still think there's a really good chance you move it. There's activity there. You bought the list. What did that list cost, by the way? Because this is list source is just such a that's such a cool way to go do it.
Hey, I'm back again. I just got dropped off. I got dropped again.
I don't know where I lost you.
I was just saying
that you don't feel bad.
Say life goes on, and then
life goes on,
you got fuzzy, and I knew I was going to go any second.
Well,
and,
they didn't have an option working before you showed up. Here's the thing. If you get 30 days into this thing and say, listen, guys, I have exhausted my resources. You know, I told you how this is going to work up front. I know I had a 60-day window. I just don't feel like the buyers, are looking for this area at this point in time. So let's just cut the contract now. You can go with somebody else. So if you want to cut them loose out of it early, then that's fine. But there's data.
What?
I mean, we're having a conversation about moving a deal in an area where there are buyers. So
yeah,
let's
well, I don't think
let's
he's going
to
do
on the other
that.
Side.
This guy in California who actually owns it is going to give me the list of people who said they were interested years ago.
Yeah.
So.
So that's the thing is they don't have a plan in place, and then you called, and now there's finally something there, and it seems like maybe it just takes a little legwork because there are buyers there. That's killer. I mean, he could jump on the phone and call him himself, but he's not.
Right.
So
no,
you know,
he never did.
The deal on the table. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, man, don't feel bad about however it turns out, but – still a really good chance this one gets moved. I mean, there's activity there, so.
Yeah. It's still hard for me to believe because, I mean,
we haven't got to the finish line yet.
I know, but I'm looking at places that you can buy there for like $3,000, you know. So.
Are people buying in the $3,000 price?
I don't know what they've paid for the houses from the 32 that that sold in the last whatever. But you know, the one woman that I talked to before, she's looking for an all-in price of $10,000 or so.
Yep.
For everything.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Rent ready, right?
On that list you bought in that zip code, what was the average purchase price? Because you add that to the list.
I didn't average it.
Do you have the list there?
I will attempt to get to my computer. I may drop the call.
Yeah, that's fine. Chime back in a little later. Let me know what the average price in there is, or just start reading off numbers. Because what are there, 60 of them?
32. Yeah, hang on. I got it right here. I mapped it out, but I didn't put the prices on that. But let me see.
Did you buy it with the prices?
They gave me everything. Here's another thing. I went to ListSource and said, "Hey, I got this list. It's like $8. I don't want to have to spend $50 for it." So they gave it to me free as a one-time courtesy. And
nice.
They have a deal where if you put down $600, you have a year to use it, and you could do it at $3 at a time.
Right.
I'm going to put this out to everybody else. Anybody's
okay.
interested in sharing this thing, we could do it. If you're working in a different town, and then we just do our lists and save some money, because I don't think I'd be spending $600 on lists. I may.
Yeah.
I hope I'm that busy.
Yeah. Well, you already bought the city list, right?
And
this one was just a specific zip code. Yeah, that's the one I walked you through.
I didn't buy it. I have it. I have it somewhere, but I never bought it. I never bought
the
geo to put in it. But this is just one particular zip code, all the different ones like we did. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I'd like to separate them all out with different zip codes so you know what's what. And I don't know if you're, I mean, $600 is, I don't know. I mean, how much is that in a reasonable amount to spend in a year for ListSource?
Yeah. If you were going to map the whole city, which that's the list Rob buys, you'll map the whole city. He'll spend that a lot of times just for that one. He just buys it all together.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the more transactions you buy, the better. I mean, you can limit it in ListSource. You go back 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12, 2 years, whatever you want. But yeah, he grabs that list because it, give it to your salespeople, give it to your dispositions people, tell your bird dogs where to go. You know, you can accomplish the whole method off one list there. So yeah, you could easily spend that. Yep. Just depends.
I'm trying to find.
So what are
the,
what are the prices to that last sale date or last sale amount?
Last market 4,000, 14, 5, 10, 5, 450, 4,500, 7,500, 5, 4, 9, 34, 500, 3,000, 700, 3,000, 39, 8, 10, 16, 14, 9, 13, 3, 11, 5, 14.
Wait, it wasn't much. It was something.
Yeah, all over the board. You've got some
the highest
15, 40, 20s and 30s in there.
There's 140. There's about 230s. There's 120. There's a couple 19s. And everything else is way lower than that.
Definitely call all those. Call them all.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm wanting 19.6 for this thing. So.
Yeah, but they're saying it's almost rent ready. So I think you're right in the wheelhouse.
Okay. All right. Well, this is what I need. I need some perspective because I look at it and I'm like, I'm stuck, man. There's no way. But
well,
I don't
Tom, you're
the,
not.
I don't.
You're not trying to sell it for 40 and everybody's below 20.
No, but like 3/4 of them are under 10. And
yeah, but what kind of properties are they? And what square feet? Here's the thing. We can sort through data all day on this. Send that list over. Give me some stats on it. Put your house in there. Bedrooms, bathrooms, right, and square footage, if you can, because you should have that in a CSV file. So in that file, you can sort by square feet and then see what the numbers look like.
In this file, you can sort by square feet. I don't know how to on this stuff yet.
How do you sort by a certain column in Excel, and you'll find step-by-step instructions on how to do it.
I know. I mean, every step of the way, there's a learning curve I turn. And it's fine. I'm learning, and I'm getting there. But every step of the way, it's like, I don't know how to do Excel. I'm learning that. I'm learning this.
Here's what you do.
Overwhelming sometimes.
Here's what you do. You go to Fiverr, and you post a job that says, I've got $5 for somebody who can sort this spreadsheet for me 4 different ways. And tell them, I want it sorted by square feet. I want it sorted by price. And just make them up and pay somebody $5, and they'll have it done for you in 3 minutes. And then there's no frustration. Just have somebody do it.
I'll do that just to see how fast it works, and put it in my
wheelhouse. You put in there, I need it done in the next 30 minutes, and I'll transfer $5 over. For somebody that knows Excel, this will take you less than 3 minutes. Because an Excel wizard will pop in there and,
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, they'll say, I have a meeting in 3 minutes. Oh, great, I've got time to do this. And they'll just knock it out. Yeah. And then they'll send it back to you, and you won't be frustrated.
I'm learning how to do all this stuff, but it takes.
Don't. You learning how to sort Excel is not highest and best use of your time. Have a tech person do what tech people do, and then you jump back on the phone and get 3 more deals under contract. It's not worth you learning how to sort Excel.
All right.
So, yeah, this is don't be frustrated. You're fine where you sit. Get on the phone with those buyers. Go check it out. Owners are out of town. I can get you in there either over the weekend or early next week.
Okay.
All right. Who else is on?
Olivia here.
Olivia, what's happening?
Hey, I'm going to give you an update. Back to the Oshif with his property. I had the realtor willing to go and look at the property, but he never responded to her.
Okay.
I think this guy would do better with a male. That's the way I can express this personality. And so this is the one way of backhanding it I was thinking of is – I have not done anything with the contract because I really wanted her to go see it, but he won't give out any information until there is a contract. I could put a contract down for 31 like he's demanding, and I'll change it.
You could.
That's what I'm thinking. Or cancel.
Or cancel it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's the only way to work with
the guy. Let me ask you this, because I know he owes 27, wants 31.
Yes.
What did – And I think did you grab that list in List Source? I think it was like $10 or $15.
Yeah.
Tom the same thing. What are the last sale date prices in that zip code?
You know what? I'm not at my computer. I'm in my car.
Gotcha. Okay.
But that's how I was going to follow up and look up those buyers, because when we were doing that together, we're 5 in that area. So that's what I'm going to bank it on.
Just go right to the data. I mean, you only spent 15, what? How much was the list to buy? $15?
It was 20 by,
$20? Okay.
So that's reasonable. So
you've got $20 and some time in. You're gonna learn something regardless.
Exactly.
You're gonna have this zip code list regardless if you get another property there. So see what the prices are on that. If you're trying to sell it for 35 and everything in there is moving from 10 to 20, don't even put it under contract. It's just that's too much for the area. And you can let if you want to let them know, great. If you don't, just move on and let it go away, and let's get you in the middle of some other ones.
Yeah, and then the guy, Joe, what was his name, Frank, I offered him 35 like we discussed on the email. And he said, oh, that's great. Now I can go to the courthouse and get $60,000. But it was nice working with you. I said, hey, Frank, nice working with you. Good luck.
That's right.
So that was it. And then I've been, you know, my goal is calling without ceasing. There's nothing going to stop me get through these calls. And I got a guy, and I called him twice. He said he had multiple properties for sale.
Okay.
And I called him Saturday. He was doing roofing. He said he'd call me back. I haven't heard from him, so I was going to give him a little more time because I think I'm annoying him.
Shoot him a text.
Yes.
Hey, when can we chat?
Yeah,
just say, hey, it's Olivia, when can we chat about those properties?
Yeah, okay.
Just leave it at that.
I had 2 people today, which felt good, and waiting for callbacks. And then what else was I going to tell you? Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
So I'm just calling,
that's it, and you're just sniffing out motivation, and you'll find it, right? What you have with this guy with the tax lien, he's pretty motivated. He's just not realistic. So that's okay. That just is what it is. You know, sometimes these landlords that own a ton of them, they can be similar, right? Oh yeah, I've got a bunch of properties. Do you need to sell them? Nah, I would. I don't need to. So, you know, okay. May go somewhere, may not. But what you're going to do is, you know, you're going to find people on the phone where it's just painful to own this thing. And now, right, now you've got somebody, if there's no motivation, this is somebody where you can end these conversations by saying, hey, let's do this. Why don't I keep in touch with you? You know, I'll just shoot you an email periodically. If you sell it to somebody else, great, but maybe things change down the road and you want to talk again. Are you okay with that? And
yeah,
then you can just put them on a drip campaign and Freedom Soft, and if they call you, they call you, and if they don't, they don't. And you just move on.
Yeah, that's a good thing, you know, instead of just out flying around. So, yeah, okay.
So I love your resolve where you said I'm just gonna beat the phone down until right, and that's what it takes. You're just looking for motivation, and not everybody is, and that's okay.
Yep. And I'm not sure that all the talk to are super motivated, and that's okay. I'll find someone that is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
That's the number.
You definitely will.
Olivia, what are you drinking? I want some of that.
Well, you know what? I had to take prednisone today, so I am a little.
Oh, I'm on that.
Hey, I'm on that.
I was in the ER yesterday with a bee sting on my tongue. Okay, 3 hours.
Ow.
Yeah.
Super ow. What do you?
I was not a happy camper. It was in my coffee.
I was going to say, I thought you were after the fresh honey, but you crawled in your coffee?
I have bees that chased me from my neighbors, and I was running from the bee. It hit the screen and bounced in my coffee, and I drank it not knowing, and I felt something weird, and then I, of course, was screaming with the bee sting on my tongue.
Oh, that sounds really painful.
It was
Is
so
it talking like this?
That
ouch.
I'm totally 100%. I got great care. And, you know, I feel so good. I'm fired up.
That, ouch. That's intense.
It was so intense, and I did call the homeowner after I kind of got off the Benadryl effect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You sound normal, which is really good in light of the last 24 hours here.
Yeah, I completely got back. I'm 100% after yesterday.
Ouch.
Yeah, no. My point is, I want whatever you're having, because I'm not making calls the way you are. I admire.
Well, Tom, find a beehive, stick your tongue in there, and get fired up.
And there's one just down the street. I'll be right back.
Ask your doctor for a little steroid. That'll get you going.
I can write it. I can write it for a prescription myself.
No. Well, that's pretty easy.
There you go.
Unbelievable. There you go. Oh, that's a trip. All right. Yeah, Olivia, stick with it. Persistence wins. And it's just, I know you've got, you went through some skip tracing stuff, got that ironed out. You know, so, I mean, sometimes you hear it on here. Sometimes people make five calls and talk to three motivateds, and other times it just you got to call through a few, but they're there. So,
yeah,
good stuff.
Hey, I have one more kind of a silly question. When we
yeah, it's
do,
not silly. Go ahead.
I haven't been doing my stats, but, like, you know, I call 7-8 numbers. And yep. I have all my properties that I'm calling in Freedom Talk.
Yep.
I have them in there as under contract. And then I do all my notes. I turn them green if they're go. I turn them red if they're red hot. But if I call 10 numbers, does that only count as one call? It's the same person?
However you want to do that stat. It's one lead. Because that's kind of the nature of this game, right? Sometimes
yeah,
they'll answer
right.
on the first call, and sometimes it'll take you 10 numbers
well,
to find them. So.
Yeah, I can.
You can put either. You can put either one on there.
It only really counts if it's the same lead, I think.
Yeah, when you get to the point where you got a VA or whoever or somebody else making calls, you'll want to know the number of calls they're making, though. Or dialed.
Yeah, you will want right. You will want to know numbers dialed because you know what that's the thing is. Even if the number isn't there, it still takes time to figure out that it's a bad number or disconnected
right.
or whatever the case. So yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can do numbers dialed because that's time and effort in. And that you know this is where those salespeople come into play because you get somebody.
Yeah.
This is really weird for non-salespeople to understand, which is me, but I'm around salespeople all the time, right? The more numbers you give them, the more fired up they get because they know it's just a matter of, you know, one more dial, one more. It's the gambling addiction, and it's the same with fishing. I've talked about it on here. With fishing, it's one more cast, right? Oh, it's time to go home. Yeah, but one more cast. What if I get one then? And that's how sales works. That call didn't work, but they just want the next one to dial. And phone sales people who have made a career out of it, they will, right, they'll be proud and brag about, oh, man, I made, you know, I've made five or whatever. I've made 600 dials in a day before. And for non-sales people, that sounds like I'd rather get stung on the tongue by a bee, right? It's that bad. For a salesperson, it's a badge of honor. I mean, it's totally how they're wired. So, you know, this is why we have the conversation. And we talk about it all the time around here. Your business needs somebody consistently on the phone, right? Tom, I've been telling you this for a while. So it's either going to be you or find somebody who's going to do it. Those are the two options. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we're all adults here. You don't have to do any of it, right? But those are the two options. Your business needs somebody consistently on the phone. If that's you, fantastic. If that's not you, you have to fill that role or just, you know, you're going to sputter. There's no other way to put it. You get somebody consistently on the phone. I mean, Brad and Rob launched Memphis, and they did it. I mean, they were in deals within the first 45 days. They had multiple closings. Now, granted, these are guys that aren't learning the process. They do it, but what was the piece? They got some things in play. They turned on some leads, and then they said, is Chris our guy? They brought him out for 2 weeks, and Chris closed the door in the office. He grabbed an office in our building, closed the door. He came out with an occasional question, and he was on the phone 7 to 9 hours a day, and Memphis just launched. That's the only word for it. That's what it took. You all have leads. You have phone numbers to call, right? So how do you launch? Either you get on the phone consistent or you find somebody that will.
I'm going to beat that 45 days.
It's there. Now, right, like I said, don't get frustrated. Their learning curve wasn't a learning curve. I mean, this is Rob's method. He's been doing it for years. So he just said, do this, do this, do this, do this. But the catalyst was Chris, who can be anybody, a salesperson, getting on the phone, consistently calling leads. That's the catalyst. That's the magic piece. And it's not magic at all. It's just that vacant homeowners are motivated to sell. Not all of them, but a good percentage of them. You just have to talk to them. That's it. I mean, there's no secret formula here. But that's why, you know, I'm going to kick that horse, and it's already dead, but I'm going to keep kicking it. Because that is the piece. If you have leads, either you get on the phone or you find somebody to get on the phone for you, period. Don't do anything until then. And that'll jumpstart it. Everybody clear?
Yep.
Clear.
Cool. Crystal.
So I got another question. So
yeah.
I want to get a salesperson, and if I get a new person, I'm pretty new at doing it myself. It's going to be hard for me to. It's kind of like the blind leading the blind. The salesperson is going to know how to do sales better than me, but the actual
absolutely they will.
Question
That's why you
they're
want
going to have yeah, but the question is about how to approach it and everything else. I'm pretty new at as well, so.
Tom,
Be straight up, man.
A salesperson wants good leads. All right, can you tell them with confidence, listen, I'm not wired to do sales. That's why I'm bringing you on the team. Here's what I know how to do. I know how to generate good leads. I'll give you a script that works. Do you need anything other than that? They just want good leads. A good salesperson will say, you're not wired for sales? Great. That's why you need me. You can give me good leads? Perfect. I'll handle the rest. Give me a little bit to go off, right? What am I doing? What are we selling? That's it. They just pick up the phone and go. I mean, I have to shut the door in my office because the sales team, for some other stuff Rob's doing, is outside. They talk loud. They talk fast. They just, how many numbers can you dial for me today? I mean, they want an auto dialer that as soon as this call goes dark, the next one's already dialing, so they don't have to push any numbers. And this is what dialers do because it's built for salespeople. A lot of them, most of them, you can tell to call multiple numbers. Whichever one answers first, that's the one that'll go live, and it hangs up on the other two and puts them in a queue to call later, call next. So it increases the number of conversations. And this is what, right, like a salesperson looks at the organization and says, oh, what kind of phone system do you have in place? How many dials can you get me a day? I mean, they're wired. If you're not a salesperson, this stuff doesn't even make sense, right? I'm telling you, like you'd rather eat grass. And it blows me away. But after I've, met them and talked to them and see how they work, this is what motivates them. Get me the dials. And so, Tom, all you have to do is say, listen, I'm not a salesperson. That's why I need you. I can get you great leads. Here's what we're talking about. And it's that pride, that badge of honor thing. You know, they say I can sell snow to Eskimos and whatever, right? They've got those sales sayings. That's all they want. That's all they want to know is they have good leads. And you can, I mean, you guys know how to generate great leads. Phase two is it moves to, and if you want to have this conversation with them, great. Say, hey, look, I'm looking to grow too. So here's where I see this going. I want to get you trained up, but here's the process we're doing, right? You're going to have to work through some numbers. Here's what I'd like to do is, you know, give you the ability to bring on a setter. Let me train you. Let's make you the closer, and you can have somebody else dialing through all the numbers. We'll keep the leads coming. And you guys can just work in tandem, right? Then you get that scenario. So now that's how Chris is doing it now. They told Chris, hire two or three more people that you need to set you up. And so Chris went out, a sales guy, finds other salespeople, guys and gals, and says, here's what you're going to do. And they're chugging through the numbers because Chris knows the system and how to make the offer and the contract and the whole nine. And this is how you get it off of your plate. And you give them goals to hit, and Chris went out and hired three setters, and so now that's why, right? That's when your business needs a full-time leads person, clearly, because they're chugging through a lot of leads, which is that's the goal. Three people are making all the calls, finding the conversations, finding the motivation, setting up Chris. Chris gets on the phone, makes the offer, gets the contract, moves it to the disposition side. But it's really, I want to break it down, right? It can seem overwhelming. It's not. There are only a couple, right? They're doing a lot of deals in Memphis with a small team. You don't have to have 20 people. But that salesperson, it helps to have the personality, consistently on the phone with leads is the magic piece. And it's not really magic. It's just the catalyst that gets everything else going. So, Tom, you don't have to be a salesperson. You should just hire somebody that is. Say, here's the thing. I need your skills. I know how to generate good leads. I know you'll take it from there. That's all they need. They don't really care what they're selling. Just give me good leads.
How are they going to find motivation if that's just in their blood?
It's in their blood. Give them a little script. Say, here's what we're going after, real estate. They're big ticket items. You're sniffing out motivation. They already know how to do it. That's sales. It's either what motivates you to buy. In this case, it's what motivates you to sell. It doesn't matter. They have a script. They know how to pull it out. They know how to kind of massage the bruise a little bit, push on the pain a little bit, and they know how to close, and they know how to talk to people. And that's what salespeople do. It's like my dad is a sales guy. Like his favorite thing in the world is to – his favorite – watch this. And if you're not a salesperson, this is going to make you want to vomit. His favorite thing in the world is going door to door, just popping in to businesses. And it's his absolute favorite when it says no soliciting on the outside of the front door. He just gets – this is nuts because I am not wired like that. He gets the biggest kick out of walking into the business that says no soliciting and just striking up a conversation and then talking to the right person and then pulling business out. I mean, he just lives for it. It's crazy. I see that sign. I cross the street and walk by it on the other side of the road, and he wants to go in. We're just wired different.
Yeah, me too.
I'm with you. I'm not wired to do sales. So it just is what it is. But that's why. Here's the thing, because we've talked about this too. We use the DISC test to hire salespeople. If you haven't taken a DISC test yourself, you have to take it.
I've taken it, and it shows that I'm a salesman.
And what did you? You're high what?
I'm high, whatever they are. The two sales ones I'm high at.
Here's the thing.
I'm good at convincing people to go climbing. I'm pretty good at convincing people to take their meds. But trying to get things when it comes with money, forget it.
So that could be true, Tom. You may just be lacking some confidence in what's going on here, because when you go to climb a mountain, you know exactly what to do and how it's going to play out. And here's the thing. It doesn't – right, there's some uncertainty when you're climbing a mountain. You're just comfortable with the level of uncertainty, which I'm not, because I think, well, what if the rope breaks and what if that thing hanging in the rock comes out and what if – right? Because I've never done it, so it's scary.
That's easy. Then you're just dead. That's easy.
I know, but here's the thing. You're asking, well, what if I can't sell the deal? Well, it's no different. I just tell you, it's not a big deal. That's why you just close up front and you just move on, and everybody lives to do what they do the next day. But you're asking the question about it, just like a non-climber would ask, but what if? That's where your brain's going. So it's just a matter of getting through – pushing through these things, and then you become, right? Yeah, there's a level of uncertainty. I think I can get this sold for you. I'm not going to guarantee that I can. Here's how this process works. And then just go about it. So it's probably just a maybe, I don't think it's a knowledge piece. I think it's maybe just a confidence that, going through the process a couple times.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Did everybody enjoy the eclipse today? have to tell you a funny story.
Did you see the trees? Did you see the shadows on the trees?
We did notice that. That was a trick.
Every shadow
it
was
like
a
crescent. It was like a prism.
Every shadow was a crescent. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was kind
of
cool.
Great photos of that. Yeah.
So we go outside and there are people in our building and then they're standing out front and we're there and Rob's out there and Nancy and Rob's wife came up and we're all looking at it and this lady comes out of the front door, not running, but with some enthusiasm, and she starts saying pretty loud, "Where is it? Where is it? Where is this thing?" And we just looked at each other and started chuckling, really? Because she was in her mid-50s, and we're like, "Ma'am, you just got to find the sun. I'm pretty sure you can handle this." And she's yelling, "Where is it? Where is it? I want to see it. Where is it?" Unbelievable. That big globe in the sky, the one that you can't normally look at. Anyway. It was that was more enjoyable to me than looking at the eclipse, to be honest.
It's pretty funny.
I thought so. Anyway, got a good chuckle. John, what's going on in New Orleans?
Hey, now. Before I get to that, I'm waiting on the HUD property with this joint venture thing. I'm waiting on the buyer's offer. So we got under contract for 35.7.
35.7?
We're
what
asking
are you selling 52, it for?
52, hopefully.
Oh, I like that.
He didn't offer enough, man, because of the
break down the deal. Where's this one at first? What city?
It's in a place called Fairfield, Alabama, where
okay.
Willie Mays
was
born.
Is it a flip or a rental?
It will be a rental. This is a hedge fund that pays too much for rentals, and
yep,
and they charge that they base their buy price on a 320 a bedroom for rental income, and that's how we figure what to offer. And this, my buddy didn't offer enough, man. I told him so. I mean, he didn't.
How many beds is it?
He didn't ask. It is a will be a 4-2. All they got to do is sling up a wall in this huge great room at the back of the house. And it's got
nice.
It'll be a 4-2, and it's got a stone barbecue pit and a stone picnic table on the patio. It's probably worth 75 or 80 fixed up all the way, maybe 90.
Yeah, wow. And what does it need? 20 in fixed up or more?
Well, it's gonna need a roof and a unit, and so I'm saying 23 to 25.
Yeah.
So
sweet deal.
But anyway, this is pretty much our only buyer. But this guy, he's got this transactional funding lined up, and he's got it under contract, and you know, and I get half of it. So
nice. So you think he let it go for too little to the end buyer?
Yeah, because they based their offers on rent times number of bedrooms.
This will be interesting because we talk about, we make some assumptions on here when we analyze numbers, but now obviously when you start to meet buyers, you're going to get some details. So tell us how this hedge fund breaks it down.
They break it down by the number of bedrooms times the bedroom rental rate, which is 320.
Yep.
Times the 6.25 multiplier minus rehab.
Interesting. I've never heard this formula before.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting.
I've got calculators. So you do 4 times 320, 1280.
Yeah.
Times what do you call it? 6.5?
6.25. Well, you got to analyze it. So
that's only 8 grand. How do you get to their buy price?
Okay, hang on a minute.
You mean divided by 6.25?
No. Multiply the rent times 12.
Gotcha. 1280 times 12, 15,360 times 6.25, 96,000. Now we're talking.
And back off 25 grand.
Minus, 71.
Yeah, see. He was being hard-headed, man, because he kept saying, "Nah, man, rent in that area is only $9,925." I said, "It doesn't matter what the rent in the area." I said,
"Right,
buyers." I said, "This is how they do it." And the only way I proved it to him, they bought a house just down the street in February.
Yeah.
And it's a 3-bedroom, and they're charging $960. It's $320 a bedroom. I said, "Man, I told you. Look, how'd you see that?" I said, "I just found it on Zillow." So, but this hedge fund also, they try to really, you know, screw you over, and you got to back about $6,000 off of every deal because they wholesale to themselves and all this other stuff, you know, all this internal garbage. But anyway,
internal garbage. That's funny. That's what Rob does on every deal. I love it.
Yeah,
he does that internal garbage too. That's funny.
He's got good garbage money, don't he?
So you maybe left 5 on the table, maybe 10 max.
Yeah. I mean, he should have started. I tried to get him to start at about 60 anyway, and he wouldn't.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you don't want to start low, clearly.
But anyway, we'll see what happens. But this really pretty much our only buyer. Everybody else, all the other real solid buyers are only going to probably pay. We'd be lucky to get 40 out of any of them.
Man, this is part of a sweet deal then.
Yeah.
Cool. When will you know if they're taking it?
Well, he submitted it to them Thursday, and they're supposed to give us a 24-hour offer. But, you know, the weekend came up, and he told me, that, "Well, you know today." I said, "Dude, be hitting him up. Send big boy a letter."
Right.
I mean, an email.
That's right.
You know, but anyway. So, and I went and looked at another one for him this afternoon. So, and you know, I can get half of them for going and taking pictures and giving them a rehab estimate.
Heck yeah.
You know.
Hey, that's, you have one buyer like that. I mean, we've talked about it on here before, but how much money do you think they have to spend on real estate, approximately?
Oh, it's in the millions. They're in Charleston, Indianapolis, Birmingham, Huntsville, Alabama.
John, you got to be moving these guys 5 deals a month, don't you? At least 3.
At least 3. That's why I need to get on these 6,000 vacants in Birmingham real quick.
Yeah, real quick, because they're not going to.
And they're real active in Birmingham because
Right.
Keith is from Huntsville, and he said they don't buy that much in Huntsville, and they move faster on the Birmingham ones because there's just more inventory.
This is a case where, you know, find 50 legit buyers so you have 5 that always have cash, but you have one like this. I mean, you could just make a killing for the next 5 years with this group, with one buyer.
Yeah. Oh, they're such a pain in the butt, but, yeah, they pay good, so.
Yeah,
but what they really do that's screwy, man, is on the last deal that I closed with them, and I had my buddy, another guy working with me on it. They don't fund it till a day later, after the closing, man. And this one family, man, it was like almost 7 days, man. This lady.
What was almost 7 days?
Before we ended up closing. Yeah, the attorney went ahead and closed the front end and had the seller sign everything.
Hey guys.
And they were expecting their pay the next day, and it took at least 5 days, man. And they were having a cow because he said, "Well, I can't. We got to figure out which one of our companies is going to buy it. There's just one company out of Texas, and you know it's just a bunch of hogwash."
Yeah, that could be a little stressful on a buyer. You could bring in some private money or flash cash to probably some short-term. You'd have to build it in, obviously, but you could probably fix that for the end for the seller if you needed to.
But that ended up being kind of a, besides splitting it, it was only like, was it $7,000? I can't remember, but I got it.
Yeah.
Still not bad. But,
no, not at all.
But anyway.
How many times has it taken 7 days? Just that once?
Yeah, it was just a quagmire. It was one of the odd ones. So, but yeah. Still, it always funds the next day with them, regardless.
Right.
And that's not really.
You know what?
You have to have your closing attorney that's got a silver tongue, knows how to talk to a seller. You know?
Or schedule those closings at 4:30 on a normal day, and then it gives the attorney something easy that says,
yeah,
you know, hey, wires are coming in, but may not be till the following day just because of the time.
Right.
So, yeah.
But,
hey, man, if you can move it for 53 and nobody else will pay more than 40, put up with a little bit of stuff and maybe figure out a workaround, because that's
25%. Well, he's gonna come in at. So he's gonna see it. It was a listed property, and he's gonna see the listing price was $39, you know, and it was
yeah.
HUD, and we got it for. First, he said, I want to offer 28. I said, dude, man, HUD's gonna spit that out.
Yeah.
I said, what do you think? 32? I said, no, man, 35. And they came back. Their counter offer was 35,670, whatever, you know. So on HUD. Because HUDs are kind of weird. I'm sure you know how that works. But
yep.
But anyway, so
what,
I've got this guy.
What is your what is your inspection period with HUD?
Well, that's what I was trying to get on. I think it's only like 3 or 5 days, isn't it?
I mean, you can build in something different in the contract, but.
I'm not sure because I didn't do the contract. I don't know. He hasn't sent it to me yet. So.
Yeah.
But he's got earnest money in it. And the earnest money goes hard after 3 days, doesn't it? That's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens.
All right.
But Nolan's, I still didn't, I guess it's the eclipse and everything, I still didn't get my guy to get that appointment set with that guy that's got that triplex house.
Did you just blame something on the... I got to back up. Did you just blame something on the eclipse? I'm just checking.
I don't know what it is, man. Weird day.
That's funny.
But it's Monday, right. and my buddy was going to go meet this guy the other day, and his family's flight got delayed, so he had to cancel. So I had
right.
him hooked up to go see it Friday, so I told him we need to get in there and
That's right.
make the offer. I should have made the offer over the phone. That's what I should have done.
Yep.
But I'm trying to get a feel for the numbers there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of letting it ride and doing these JVs till I get my foot in the door. But so I got that one, and he's got the other one that's got the tax certificate property, and he's got another 8-unit building, and the seller says he's got plenty more that he wants to get rid of. So.
Love it.
And,
yeah, a lot of good stuff happening.
And also on my, we got a new scrubber on board is what I call them.
Yep.
Doing just scrubbing and skip tracing. So Cy or Cyril, whatever her name is, can do nothing but call. So, and he started Saturday, worked about 4 hours. So he's set to go now, and he's working Filipino time, and my caller's working U.S. time. So
that works because he can work overnight, and then she can pick up U.S. business hours.
Yeah, and she'll be good to go. She made she called 22 leads today, and didn't get any. She's got one cold lead, and the rest of them are not selling their voicemails. So.
All right, John, feed that machine.
Hey, I'm close, man. It's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And yep. How long have I been working in New Orleans now? 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think so. Sounds about right.
Yeah, I'm going to beat Rob's 45 days.
All right, good.
So.
Good. Good. Who else?
Hey, Mike, it's Mike Riley.
Mike, what's happening?
Well, not a lot, unfortunately. I've been climbing a technology wall, but I think I'm getting there. I hope I'll have it solved tomorrow.
Yeah, what's the tech wall, and can we get you off it and have somebody else climb it for you?
No, it's me and computers. You can't do anything about that. So I'm I hope I get it fixed, and it looks like I might. At least I've got the guy that built the computer working with me, so that's a good thing.
Okay. Hey, Mike, when you can send me an email, give me a detailed idea of, we can do it right now. What where are you at? How many do you have leads coming in? Let's just unpack it here. So when that computer's ready, you have clear steps.
Well, I don't have leads coming in. I still have to hire bird dogs, and I've sorted out the zip codes in Cleveland. So I, what
but you
I
know
don't
where
know
to send
is
them.
Well, either I think you told me to go either realtor.com or list source and actually buy a list, but I've manually sorted the zip codes, so I know which ones belong to Cleveland, but now I've got to sort property activity in each of those.
Okay, so yeah, list source. We use realtor.com for a couple other things. List source will be best. The absentee owner list. Here's what you can do that's free without buying a list. Go into FreedomSoft and go to the marketing tab, click cash buyers.
Okay.
And then you'll put in state and city. And then jot this down. Click the little gray show advanced button. Because it's gonna default to the last 90 days. So click show advanced. And then go down to the date range drop down and select 1 to 3 years and click search. And what that's going to do is it's going to go back, or you can go 1 to 2 years, 1 to 3. It's going to go back 24 or 36 months. And then in the upper right-hand corner, you can toggle back and forth between list view and map view. Okay?
Okay.
So go to the map view. And then what you'll do is you'll just – it's going to sort these from companies who have bought the most properties to the fewest. So right – number one is going to be the most – the company or person or whatever that bought the most properties in that time frame. And you can click on them. And when you click on them, it's going to map every property that they bought. And so all you do is have two internet tabs open, and one of them – have FreedomSoft doing what I'm telling you. In the other one, just go to Google and type in Cleveland zip code map, and it's going to pull it up. Okay?
Yep.
Now,
yep.
What you're going to do is you're going to click on the buyer in FreedomSoft, and it's going to map all their properties, and you're going to see them over. You're going to see the little pins over a map of Cleveland. And then you're going to flip over to your, right? You'll get an idea. Okay, they're in the, right? They're kind of all over the whatever, north, southwest, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to see it, and then you're going to go to your zip code map of Cleveland, and you're going to start jotting down little notes. If you want, you can even print that zip code map out and put it on your desk, right? You're saying you're having a technology issue, so I'm going to make this, let's just do this super simple. Print that zip code map out, and then you'll see little clusters of deals that they've bought, and just estimate. That looks like 10 right here. And write 10 on your physical printed out map. And then it looks like 5 down here and 3 over here and 20 over here. And you'll start to get an idea. And then click on that buyer again in FreedomSoft and the map will clear. Click on the second one on the list. It'll pop up that map. Put it out on your physical map real quick. Close it and go through the first couple pages on there, right? Hit your big buyers. And you'll get a really clear picture of either the activities everywhere or it's in these little hot spots. And then I want you to get actually, that's the second thing I want you to do. The first thing I want you to do is post an ad for a bird dog. And even if your computer is being fixed, you can post on Craigslist over your phone. Type in something really, really simple, just like the coaching center says to do. And then while people are responding and you're talking to them, you can map it out and then tell them where to go. Because if you get if you get one bird dog in one zip code and they start driving, we're moving in the right direction. Okay?
All right. I just don't want to give them, you know, I don't want to tell them to go to some zip code that turns out to be the wrong place. That's all. I want to have that knowledge before I...
You won't. Not if you follow what I just said. You're going to send them to where the buyers are,
where the action
buyers
is,
are going.
So I, okay. Yep. Yeah, you told me
now,
that once before.
The better list is to pay for it on ListSource, because FreedomSoft is going to pull cash buyers, right? We were talking about this last week. When you go to ListSource, like let's say I'm your buyer, or I'm a buyer in Cleveland, but I use private money, and they get you right. I'm a legit buyer, but I use private money, and that note and deed of trust gets recorded. That's not going to show up as a cash transaction, even though I'm a legit buyer.
Mm-hmm.
So ListSource, that list is best. The FreedomSoft list, for you just need to point. You need a bird dog in 1 to 3 zip codes that you know there's activity, and you can find
mm-hmm.
that right now. You can find that in the next 5 minutes.
No, but I don't know where those are. I don't think I do.
You will when you do what I just told you.
Okay, well, I'm in the car at the moment, so I've got to get back to the computer and put that together. But I appreciate it. That's really good instruction. And this is going to be recorded, so I can go back to it and pick it up tomorrow if it's
get
crossed up. Okay.
Step one, Mike.
Yep.
Post your ad for a bird dog. Step two, do what I just told you. And here's the thing. I could type all of that out in less than, 90 seconds for you. So if you need a quick reminder, shoot me an email fast, and I'll tell you.
Okay, right? I don't want to have to bother you with that because I can get it off.
Hey,
the board.
Mike, this is what I'm here for, okay? So
all right.
not bothering me. I appreciate the concern,
right.
But you're not bothering me. What I need to know is that you have clear steps. And that, we're making progress. So, yeah, John, go ahead.
Did you look at that zip code map link that I sent you, or can you share
into
the coaching center or something?
No, I didn't have a chance to yet. I didn't.
Can you put it in the coaching center?
That's not that article. I was thinking that article you sent.
No, it's not the article. It's just a really, really clear, precise zip code map, the best one I've ever seen. So.
No, I didn't. But yeah, I should.
You want me to resend it to you?
Yeah, send it to me again, because you found it on a website, right?
Yeah. I was looking, man, and it's real clear
website.
And precise, and
cool.
Doesn't have a bunch of stuff with it. So
Mike,
everybody can use that.
And that way, you'll have FreedomSoft in one tab, and then this link in the other, and it'll show you clear zip codes in Cleveland, and you'll be able to map that stuff out.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We'll hit it hard tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Get that ad posted tonight in Craigslist, okay?
All right. I'll give that a shot. Thanks a lot.
Name that website?
Post it
okay.
in the real estate or sales section on Craigslist.
Okay.
I don't care which one.
Sales or services?
Real estate or sales.
Sales. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Can do. Thank you.
Try real estate first.
Okay.
Okay.
Will do.
John,
thanks
what's
a lot.
The website? Yeah.
Hang on. I'm looking for it.
Okay.
Can we just forward it to you again real quick?
Yeah, forward it and then tell everybody on this one. So if somebody's on,
okay,
they can just
it
get it
is,
now.
Well, simply UnitedStatesZipCodes.org. Okay, there you go.
That's easy. United States spelled out?
United States spelled out, ZipCodes.org.
Got it. Thanks.
Sweet
That's
deal.
Pretty, it doesn't have all that garbage and a bunch of ads. It's just real, real clear.
Awesome. Thanks.
I've gotten a lot of use out of it learning New Orleans. So.
Beautiful.
Yeah, man, I've got a zip code and a half done with a bird dog and only and got 200 leads already, so.
Yeah, Mike, that's the thing that, I know will happen is you don't need to map the whole city. If you know that there's activity in 1, 2, 3, send them there and you're off and running.
All right. That's what we're looking for. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yep. You'll get it.
And thank you, John, for the website.
No problem. No problem.
I'm just amazed you found it on the eclipse day. I thought everything would go haywire.
Man. Yeah, well, my wife, you know, she said, I've already looked at it. I said, yeah, before I gave you the glasses. I said, you're going to burn your retinas. You aren't going to know it for a while.
Yeah. Did she really look at it?
She said, come out on the side porch. I said, no, it's right here. There's chairs on the back deck.
Yeah, so don't look at that thing. If you already did, that's my public service announcement. Too late.
Yeah, we had only had 92% here, so it wasn't.
That's what we were at, 92 to 95, something like that.
That's all it takes. You'll know tomorrow.
I mean, that's all it takes.
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thanks.
John took me down here to see if you were here. Oh. I saw him here. I knew he did.
Yeah, I'm just on the phone.
Oh,
hey, Mike, hit *6 for us, and
yep.
Then you can mute out.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to have to cut out anyway, so thanks a lot. I'll pick the rest up on the recording.
Talk soon.
Thanks.
Yep. Anything else, everybody? Or is that a wrap? Eclipse
can
day.
Can I ask
office
another quick
hour
question?
No, man.
Yeah,
I'm
for sure.
Waiting on it.
All right. I'm trying to make a website. I have a domain name already.
Yep.
And it won't let me because it says I have to go to my server or whatever to do it. I put in the IPv4 or whatever it is, version 4, whatever that number is, and nothing's happening.
Where'd you buy your domain?
Name Silo.
Okay. So are you online?
Yes.
Go to your website and then click edit. So you go into your website.
Okay.
And then click settings on the left side. And then click domains.
Are you talking about on my website?
Yeah, in FreedomSoft.
Oh, in FreedomSoft. Okay, hang on.
Yeah, go to FreedomSoft and go to the marketing tab and click
website. Marketing, go to websites.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And then, go to your website and then click the little pencil icon over on the right to edit it. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Then click settings on the left side.
Okay.
Then click domains.
Okay.
Now, what does it show on the domains page? Is it like a code.freedomsoftsites.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Click the blue add domain button in the upper right corner.
Okay.
And then click the drop down. Do you have your domain name entered in there yet?
Yep.
Okay, so select that one that's tied to it. And connect them, and then it'll take you to a page that's going to show you a unique A record.
It says assign domain. Is that what I click?
After you select the name, click assign, yep.
Okay. I hope I didn't screw it up because I wanted to name Silo and I put the number in. So let's see if
Now there's a number on that page. Is that the A record that you pointed the domain towards in name Silo?
I don't see it put my name in there for it's loading, hang on. I don't see any number. I see my domain name.
There should be a red square that says it hasn't been set up properly.
Red square. Oh, yeah, like coming down on the bottom from the top?
Yeah, it's just kind of in the top middle of the page.
No, that did it before. It's not doing it now. Oh, there it is. Yeah, okay. Yep. There it is.
So
there's
an A record.
Yeah.
There, that's probably 3-4 dot something.
Yeah.
Okay. Copy, highlight that number, copy it, mm-hmm. Go into name silo, and paste it for the A record for that domain, and they'll connect.
I did that already.
Okay, if you already did that, then they'll probably connect, assuming you pointed it to that number. what you just probably needed to do was assign that domain to that FreedomSoft website.
Yeah, I didn't get to the assign on this end of it, on the FreedomSoft end of it.
They'll usually connect pretty quick. If they're not by tomorrow, let us know.
All right, cool. Well, thanks.
Yep. All right, everybody. Anything else we can wrap up?
No, that's it. Did you read that article, ma'am?
I didn't yet.
I know.
Oh, my last days have been hectic. I didn't forget about it, though, last couple of days. So.
Yeah, I know. You are busy, man. I can believe it.
Well, good stuff, everybody. Keep it moving forward. If you need clarification on anything, let us know. Any other questions? Keep moving forward.
Thanks for
the riding on the city of New Orleans.
Hey, mark your calendars for 50 years from now. That eclipse is coming back. If you missed it today, you don't want to miss it. So put that on your calendar.
Yeah,
2024.
I'll make note of it.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to keep my glasses, too, so I'm ready.
They're only good
right,
for
everybody.
3 years. See you later.
All right, man.
Yep, have a good night or evening, wherever you're at. Talk soon.
Check your email. I sent you a couple photos.
Okay. Sounds good. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.
See you later. Thanks.